So, just can you first of all start off by telling me your name and who you're here representing?
Yes, my name is Anita Gates. That's my English name. And my native name is Ampa Owe Chakbiri. And that was given to me by my grandmother. It means morning star woman. And we, the Dakota Nation, we come from seven large family groups, and we think of ourselves as a star nation. Wichakbe Oyate. That's how you say that. And that we came from the constellations, and we came from there, and then we returned to there. And I'm glad to give you my introduction.
Okay. And how does it feel for you being here right now with the project today, or on the river, or however?
It feels bittersweet because we have recently had one of the nation's Standing Rock. We had a dispute over the water through Keystone XL pipeline being put through there, and we're afraid that the pipeline is going to burst, and really that river is the Missouri is, you know, connects with the Mississippi, you know, and it'll pollute everything, you know. And so that's my bittersweet worry about, you know, how the water is being exploited, and so on.
Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit about why we're here today and what we've been talking about?
Some of the I have a nonprofit. It's called Zinc a la Luta. It was named by an elder that isn't with us anymore, and means red bird, that we pray as we sing the Dakota. And so we established that to revitalize the language and culture, because it's very complex. It's super complex, and we can't lose that as an American heritage. We just can't do that. So some of the work that we've done is go into the schools and teach language and put on programming, and we've done the education piece, also the health piece, where we've grown indigenous gardens, urban farming, and also we're going to be branching into computer technology for children of color that are underserved, and we would like, we've been talking about a center for this for a long time, and if we could bring all our indigenous knowledge, you know, from the Star Nation to the next generation, that, you know, that would be a dream come true.
Mm-hmm. And how, can you tell me a little bit about the history of your nation and people and their relationship to the Mississippi, and how it was in the past and how it is today, and some of the things that you're facing?
Well, we would have to start with, you know, the migration history. And when Minnesota became a state, and, you know, the wars were over and we went on to reservations, during that time they hunted our people down, chased the women and children down and killed us. And we were put on boats to move westward. My grandmother was 10 years old, and she witnessed all the killing and carnage. And, you know, before she died, she lived to be 97, but she really hated the white nation, you know, and I don't blame her for being bitter, seeing all that murder when she was just a girl. So she's Sisitawa and Wapretiwa, two of the nations that come out of where were the other nations are here in Minnesota. And but then part of their people did move west, and so we were scattered, you know, we were scattered and put on trains to go to prisons, and also just the children were separated from a family unit, you know. Our Teoshpaye, you were separated and put on in boarding schools. So that's some of the tragedy, but I'm a teacher, and I don't like are my students, no matter how old or how young, to believe that we're a conquered nation and we're gone, and, you know, all the stereotypes. I want them to know that we're resilient and that we're still here. Our language, our culture is intact, and we hold all our knowledge, and this would be perfect hub, you know, to have that carried on, you know, through a school, a center, and a place where we can thrive, you know, and keep up with technology. So that's what, you know, that's what one of the goals are.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the relationship you have with other social movements like Project Sweetie Pie and like this community-driven movement around protecting, we're trying to reclaim this area for the community rather than having it being turned over to development, and this collaboration somehow or conversation between your people and what's going on here?
Yes, well, we have always had environmental justice in the back of our mind, and our urban farming has been successful because we've had at least 50 gardens that have been chemical free and distributed to people that can't afford the organic foods. And so we've fed people, we've kept alive all these sorts of things. You know, my organization, Zinkala Luta, Project Sweetie Pie, we're part of a coalition of people from all backgrounds, European, Native, Black, Asian, and Latino. And so we've worked together in various, especially with folk dancing and the Wichipi powwow dancing, part of our cultures. And so we could also bring that, you know. There's many organizations, Native Lives Matter, that have continually worked on environmental justice and food justice. So I believe when we grow stronger, we can conquer you know, all of the polluted type an industry that's along the river. It's very wrong, and so I think this project should serve everyone, but especially the indigenous people that came from this land. So
thank you. You were talking earlier a little bit about, I'm going to have to go in a second, I think this is going. You were telling us earlier about practices of care and scientific understandings of the river and relating to the river in ways that didn't need scientific understandings because they were rooted in care and relation. And I wondered if you could tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, it's been a strong belief that Native people cannot express themselves unless they have scientific or research-based proof of what they're talking about. But you know, we're in tune with the spirit world, and I think the European nations just now understanding what that is, because it gets complex. You know, you can't do one with the other in our culture. You have to have spiritual intellect, health, and emotion. You have to have that all in one school of thought. You can't separate those to understand the world and the way we teach ourselves. So we knew that there was a small thing called an atom and a molecule. We know that if you put a rock under a microscope that it's alive. We knew that. And so that's the difference that we have. So if you look at the water, if you look at the sky, the earth, the spirits are there, and you can record them with cameras, and you can see them there. Not always, but you can see them there. I taught my son to go to the spiritual place where we cold water springs and look in the water and see what you see, take a picture. There were two people looking up at him, and he knew that you know, there's a realm of thought that we have yet to discover.
So. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. Thank you. My bus is literally leaving.
I wondered who that was. I thought,